News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you on a Tuesday. And there's so much stuff going on out there. We'll document every bit of it. We'll comment on most of it. And we'll take your phone calls on whatever parts of it you want to respond to. 704-570-1110 on Twitter, or as I'm fond of saying, the Twitter, at Winterbull Show. So the president of the United States is getting ready to sign the, what do they call it, the Inflation Control Act. He's supposed to sign that, or he did sign it, or he is signing it there at the White House. Things got complicated because now Dr. Jill Biden has got COVID, and so she's going to have to quarantine back there at that house in Kiowa for like the next 5 days or until she gets two negative COVID tests. Now, if you were renting that out, which they're not because they're staying there for free, but if you have house guests and then somebody gets COVID and they got to stay with you for 5 days, I know the owner's not staying in the house, but your house is now occupied for another 5 days of disruption and all that kind of stuff. I mean, how much of a bargain is that set up? I mean, I'm not trying to blame anybody for getting COVID. I understand these are very elderly people. The first lady and the president, I think, have a combined age of 175, but you got to kind of budget for getting the COVID and being able to then transport yourself to a place where you can recuperate. Instead, now you're sitting in somebody's house. Maybe the woman that owns this place, she's a widow. Maybe she decides, hey, I'd like to go down to Kiowa. Oh wait, we got the Rona in the COVID house here. That's great. People walking on the beach are going to be pointing me like, that's the COVID house right there. That's a house that's got COVID in it right now. That's right. The first lady, Dr. Jill Biden, is in there. And so you upend everything. And the president wanted to sign this bill, the Inflation Expansion Act, the Everything's Getting More Expensive Act, the Bohica Act. Bend over here. It comes again. I mean, what is this act really called? I think it's the Inflation Control Act. He's going to sign this thing and he's going to take a victory lap. And what's so interesting is when you look at the polling numbers that are out there right now, people who are looking at these polls understand that we are actually in a recession. We are in a recession. They can claim that we're not in a recession. We are in a recession. In fact, one of the pieces that I like a lot over at Issues and Insights says, despite Biden denials, most say we're in a recession and government is to blame. Government is almost always to blame when it comes to a recession because it's the Federal Reserve that is controlling the supply of money. Joe Biden, Ron Klain, First Lady Kamala Harris, First Lady Jill Biden, Kamala Harris, the Vice President, Doug Emhoff, the first gentleman, second gentleman, Hike, whatever it is. These folks do not have any control over anything in their lives, and they sure as heck don't have any control over the economy, save for one thing, the Federal Reserve making decisions about tightening or loosening the money supply. And so perception is reality when it comes to the world of politics. And if you look at the recent IBD TIPP poll, right, Investors Business Daily tip poll, for instance, finds that 62% of people surveyed say the U.S. is in a recession, including a tripartisan majority of Democrats at 51%, Republicans at 74%, and independents at 56%. That compares to an overall 18% who say the economy is not in a recession. You know who those 18% are? Everybody elected to office on the Democrat Party standard around the country. Those are the only people that say we're not in a recession. Now, to further understand what Americans believe about recessions, this tip poll asked 1,335 regular Americans from across the country to respond to the following question. Do you agree or disagree with the definition of a recession as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth? Among those asked that question, 56% agreed the definition of a recession is two straight quarters of GDP decline versus the 13% who said it's not. Well, those 13% went to woke, goofy, weirdo economics classes at high-end universities that you and I aren't even permitted to drive past, let alone attend. High-end thinkers like AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, And of course, all of the Swalwells running around the village of Fang Fang. I mean, this is what's going on here. You either believe that 6 months of negative growth or slow and negative growth is a recession or it's not. And we're still going to have this fight. And here's what I think is so interesting. You could talk about Mar-a-Lago, could talk about the raid, could talk about what Fox and Friends is cooking on a grill. You can do all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, what's going to drive the elections, what's going to drive the decisions is how people feel in terms of the confidence on their own personal economy. That's what it comes down to. In fact, in a matter of minutes, I'm going to share with you a piece that talks about the sudden rising concern among the wizards of smart inside the Democratic Party, inside the Congress, that have now discovered that the Democrats have, are you ready for this, a likability problem tied into the use of the phrase Latinx and pronoun obsessions. Turns out normal, regular people, Democrats, Republicans alike, not the effete, not the elite, not the goofball, Wizard of Oz type progressive liberals that are dominating the national discussion and debate. The regular people that get up and go to work every day don't like the Democratic Party very much because all they care about is he, she, they. Instead of job safety and employment. That's what you're supposed to care about. They care about he, she, they. I'm wearing a blue suit. My foot is behind my head. That's what I am. I want to give you an opportunity to not offend me by telling you what all my statistics are before we even have a conversation. While the rest of the country is going, wow, the border is still open. Iranians are trying to murder Americans on American soil. And of course, the economy is important. I mean, it's really an amazing thing. It's not even a tale of two countries. It's a tale of a majority and then a whacked out, goofy minority that wants desperately to control the narrative when like 90% of the people in this country are like, stop, stop it. You're wrecking it. The economy is number one. And this crazy 15% wants to make it about everything but the fundamentals that affect normal working people, regardless of party or gender identity. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Boomer on Canada. I was shocked to see this produce truck here thingy that went on fire like that.
Man.
And I mean, I thought there was moisture in vegetables and fruit. I didn't know fruit was flammable.
No, and the first report had it as the ground beef or meat. It was meat being hauled. Then I hear produce later, but I had a feeling maybe that first report was correct, it being ground beef. Because that went up big time. I mean, it went up in flames big time.
And at that spot, that is a very vulnerable spot on 77.
Yes, sir.
Can wipe out the commute all day long. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. You know, it's really incredible when you think about it. I mean, when you think about where we are right now in this country, 45 years ago today, King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley, died. The King. I mean, absolutely incredible. I was a young lad when it happened, but even I, as a young lad, could pick up the sadness and the crushing upset that was out there in our country. And what's so interesting about Elvis is, if you go watch that movie, which I think is really fantastic, and I'm not a big consumer of movies, but I thought the Elvis movie was really, really, really good. You have an understanding of him in a different way than you would have had, say, if you were more in, say, my generation, because Elvis was like a punchline in the middle of my generation. He was, you know, fat and bloated and kind of a caricature of himself. But when you watch the immense talent he had, and I understand if this is depicted in a movie, but he still had the talent. He still had the following. He still had the creativity. You don't appreciate the masters when they're around you. You just don't. And I'm using masters, by the way, as somebody who is tremendous at their craft. I'm not trying to create a commentary on division or ideology or persona. I'm talking about the ability to take something from the hardscrabble poverty he grew up in and become essentially the king of entertainment in many, many ways. And he was reduced. He was reduced ultimately in the 80s and into the 90s as just a, you know, fat, bloated, goofy Nicolas Cage flying Elvises in Vegas. And, you know, you got to respect the fact that he's right there on par with Sinatra. He's right there on par with the great, with the great talents of American musical culture. And it's really a remarkable thing. So we'll be playing some bumps, recognizing that. John Stewart reached out to me earlier today and reminded me of this date, and I was appreciative of that. I was talking a couple of minutes ago, though, about the Democrats having a likability problem because of the use of pronouns and Latinx and things like that. Well, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee chairman is Sean Maloney, and he is full of baloney. He repeatedly admits that the Democrats have a likability problem as they discuss whether his party is out of touch with voters. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Outside of San Francisco and Los Angeles and of course, Washington, D.C., Chicago and New York City, nobody wants to buy what these people are peddling. No way, no how. The DCCC chair sat down for an interview with the old great lady, the New York Times, and the editorial board on July 25th, during which the deputy, Patrick Healy, questioned Maloney about whether he sees any issues where elected officials are out of step with where voters are right now. Well, that's a pretty obvious question. I'm wondering about immigration or LGBTQ rights or another issue, Healy asked. What do you see? Where do you see them? Out of sync? Out of step? Maloney responded by saying, well, I've often put this to my colleagues to say, if our positions and our policies are so popular, why don't they like us more? That's a good question. The New York Democrat said there's, quote, broad agreement within Democratic ranks that, quote, we have a likability problem. You don't have a likability problem. Most people don't like you. And you could try to become more likable by handing out cash, trillions in cash. People still won't like you. You want to know why they don't like you? Because you're out of step with where the American people are, broadly speaking. And he says, and my answer to this is we move really fast and we're really passionate about the solutions we want to bring. And we sometimes don't give people enough time to understand what we're doing to bring them along. Translation, I, Sean Maloney, elite New Yorker, think the rest of the country is stupid. That's the answer. That's why you're not liked. That's why you're not liked. You're not liked because it's clear that you think everybody else in the country is stupid. To quote Static X, they're a loser is what he's trying to say. That's what's wrong. That's the issue. You've met these people. You've seen these people. You watch them on television. Rachel Maddow. You watch CNN. You watch some of the characters that appear routinely on the Fox News channel. They look down their noses at you. They think you're just rubes and hicks and hayseeds, out of touch Christian extremists. This is what's happening. You can't fix that because that's in the DNA of what that party is. You can't fix it. Now, I'm going to show them how they could fix it. And I'm going to give a piece of advice to both political parties when we come back. Neither will take it. And they will do that at their own peril. The advice is free. The impact could be forever. 704-570-1110, Newstalk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Anna Erickson's got the update. Newstalk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Brett Winterbull Show. Have you seen all these buses that are going up to New York City? They're bringing migrants up from the border and depositing them in New York City. And now they've gone and they've taken a very high-end hotel called The Row. They've taken this very high-end hotel in Midtown Manhattan, and it's now becoming a migrant facility. It's a tall building, right? It's got like 15, 20 floors, and it's a building that many people in the audience who are of a certain age will remember for its commercials. They used to run commercials. This would have been the 70s up until maybe the late 80s, early 90s. And it was a hotel in New York City called the Milford Plaza. And you could, I was looking at the commercials that used to run about this hotel It was a nationwide, they would buy them nationwide. It would be, they'd be running them in all the cities across the country. Hey, come to New York. It's this glamorous place. This hotel is amazing. You know, the chef is cutting the prime rib right next to the table. And they're making creme brulee and they're doing all that kind of stuff that they do. It's like a super high-end hotel. Well, this high-end hotel is now becoming a migrant facility because Greg Abbott and the people in Texas are shipping these migrants up to up to New York City. Now, remember what the narrative was for a very long time with these migrants. The narrative was, oh, these are family units. These are women and children and men who are carrying their things because they're fleeing the violence in Latin America and they're just coming for a better opportunity. You know how hard it is? Remember Joe Biden? You know how hard it is to leave your family and go make this dangerous trek? Well, Joe Biden has done nothing to stop this, and you've had 2 million people come into the country. 2 million people since Joe Biden was inaugurated as the president of the United States. And there's absolutely no indication we won't get to, say, 4 or 5 or 6 million by the time the Biden reign is over. So I want you to hear Bill Malugin, who is a very, very, very good reporter. He's on Fox News. He's done a lot of great work on the border. Came out of KTTV in Los Angeles. He's a tremendous reporter. And listen to him. He's describing what's coming across, who's coming across in this border surge. It is no longer family units. The family units are done. These are all single adults that are coming in to the United States. And I want you to hear this because it's hugely important. This is cut number 12.
And in just a 24-hour span yesterday, we had more than 2,200 illegal crossings. That is one day in just one sector here at the southern border. And take a look at this video we shot today. It has been storming and raining and windy all day long, but it hasn't slowed anything down. This was this morning, a large group of 200 crossing illegally in the elements. It didn't stop anything. This was predominantly single adults from Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, all turning themselves into Border Patrol. But take a look at what we saw yesterday. Look at this drone video. We saw more than 500 people cross in a single 1 hour span. That includes this group you're looking at of 300 people. Again, predominantly single adults. They're coming in from all around the world, Central and South America, some from Asia, some from Africa. You'll see many of them dressed very well, waiting with their smartphones for Border Patrol to process them. And then you'll see some of them even walked out to a nearby highway, almost getting on the road before Texas DPS troopers stopped them. Then take a look at this third piece of video. Two more groups we saw yesterday totaling more than 200 migrants. Again, almost all of them single adults. We are no longer seeing those mass family units like we saw last summer. Just to put it in perspective, there have now been more than 400,000 illegal crossings here in the Del Rio sector just since October. That's up double from the same time last year.
Okay. So this isn't just people fleeing violence in Central America. These are people from all over the world. These are people coming in from Mexico, India, China, the Dominican Republic, Vietnam, the Philippines, El Salvador, Brazil, Cuba, South Korea, you name it. We are a welcoming country, and I support immigration. I do. I support legal immigration coming into the United States of America. But the thing that is striking to me, is that Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy have said nothing about this issue. I understand Schumer's not going to say anything about it, and I understand Pelosi's not going to say anything about it, because what they want is to bring in unskilled or low-skilled folks who will work for a very cheap price for the companies that are constituents of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. She runs a vineyard. You're going to tell me she's going out and she's paying $17 an hour to pick grapes at Nancy Pelosi's vineyard? You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. You know it, and I know it. That is likely not the case. Now, maybe she's not hiring them themselves. They've got somebody who's outsourcing them to her. But nonetheless, the border is not being respected. In fact, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. in September to do a little fact-finding mission on this stuff and to bring some important coverage about this, especially coming up into the midterm elections. But here's the thing. The Democrats are not going to do anything about this because they see this as a valuable asset that can be harnessed in a variety of ways for political purposes. That's number one. Number two, the Republicans, I think, are afraid of dealing with this. But what they don't understand is the American people have never been angrier about our border being opened. You combine that with the fentanyl murders that have taken place, in excess of 100,000 people murdered from fentanyl by the Mexican cartels and the Chinese producers. People are really angry in this country. So here's my advice for the Republicans. Go call Dan Bishop. Just heard a commercial with Dan Bishop yelling at Joe Biden about his spending. Call Dan Bishop's office. Call Tillis's office. Call whoever you want. Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott. This is the bill that ought to be introduced. Okay, it's super easy. It is super easy. You need a bill that says there is to be a prohibition for those who immigrate illegally into the United States between January the 20th of 2017 and January the 20th of 2025. We're going to set in motion, if you've come into the country illegally in that window of time and you've remained in the country illegally in that period of time and you do not have a case or a cause for asylum, then you are prohibited from obtaining American naturalization moving forward. Now, all you have to do is introduce that bill. And you know what the Democrats will do? They will howl and they will scream and they will prevent that bill from passing. And all you have to do is run on that between now and November to try to get control of the border. Now, you're going to come up short. It's going to be difficult. They're going to try to ram something through. Once they lose in the House and they lose in the Senate, they're going to try to do something with a kamikaze Congress. But nevertheless, somebody has to do something about this. At least make the effort. Don't come out on first down with 15 minutes left in the first quarter and take a knee. You've got to show the American people that you're on board with what they're concerned about, a wide open border in which who knows who's coming across. But it's much easier to just take off the helmet, take the knee, and forfeit the game for so many politicians in D.C. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Speaking of which, Boomer.
Yes.
I think we're like 11 days away from college football?
Yes, sir, next week.
Are you kidding?
Man, it's here.
Come on, I'm ready. I'm getting ready. Let's do it.
Man,
but before we do
ready.
That, we got to have clear roadways. What's
yes,
happening?
Sir.
News Talk, 1110, 99.3 WBT. If you're planning on making any trips starting in November, you may want to double, triple check if you're flying American Airlines. American Airlines is cutting 31,000 flights in November after slashing 2% of flights in September and October. The information came via data from an aviation analytics company called Cirium. CNN has reported this out just yesterday, adding that the biggest cuts will affect flights between Chicago O'Hare and Dallas-Fort Worth, along with Boston and Philadelphia. Preliminary schedules are published 331 days in advance, and then the adjustments are made closer in based on the schedule that they intend to operate. They're now loading schedule adjustments approximately 100 days in advance, which is in line with how they adjusted their schedule in 2019. So in June, it was American Airlines saying it would stop services in three cities in the coming months due to a pilot shortage. Among those, note these, it would be starting on September the 7th. They're going to do Islip and Ithaca, New York, and they're going to cut Toledo. So if you want to see the Mud Hens, you have to drive over there, I guess, or find a different airline. The decision comes as the overall airline industry has been dealing with a pilot shortage while demands for travel remain at an all-time high. I guess they shouldn't have fired all those pilots. I guess they shouldn't have driven all those pilots out of the flight service there, huh? Remember, it was jab or job? A lot of these pilots said, I'll just head on down the road, way down the road. Doug is up next. Hey, Doug, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brett. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
I have a question in regards to the immigration.
Yeah.
In the Constitution, I've just been reading that recently. It says Congress has the power to make uniform rules of naturalization.
Correct.
So then how does the president have the right to change that?
Because he is flouting the laws and would have to be held to account
All right, so then the question would be, how does Congress do that?
You would have to impeach him, remove him from office, and then hope that the next person up would follow the laws. I mean, it's really the only way you can do it, because you'd have to have a veto-proof majority in the Senate to pass a bill that goes over the president's head, because you'd be veto-proof, right? And then if he decided he wasn't going to play ball in that regard, you'd have to sue him for enforcement. That would go to the Supreme Court, because you'd have the executive branch and the legislative branch in a contest. And ultimately, the president has demonstrated that he's willing to act in a lawless fashion when it comes to shutting down energy supplies, opening the border, all of it. The only remedies we have are political, and that's essentially the only way you're going to be able to handle this.
So, yeah, I was just going to say, so then it's in the hands of the people.
Well, it's in the hands of the people.
Because of election.
Well, it's in the hands of the people in another way, though, okay? Because the House could pass a measure, and the Senate could pass a measure that says, okay, Mr. President, you want to leave the border wide open? Nobody coming in is going to get naturalized. So if the Democrats decide they want to try to naturalize 5 million people who came in because the border was opened by Joe Biden and his chief of staff, they're not going to be able to reap the benefits of coming into the country. I mean, that's the way it's going to have to be. And unfortunately, what did you see as the first thing that President Biden did, even before he opened the border? He stopped construction of the wall. He made it clear that cartels, criminals, terrorists were going to be free to walk right across that border as long as they turned themselves in to the Customs and Border Patrol people who were then ordered by the commander in chief to catch and release. That's where we are.
See, and I might be too strong with this statement, but isn't that an act of treason?
Well, treason is
You're
difficult, right? Because
the enemy.
Treason is aid and comfort to the enemy. I think it would probably be a violation of the presidential oath, because when you take the oath to uphold the Constitution and to enforce the laws, right? And that's what the president's in violation of, much more so than what they call the former guy when he was having a conversation with Ukraine.
I think the only thing I'm just trying to say is we, the people, need to get more involved.
Have to. You have to run for office. You have to hold these people to account. And I would like to hear people starting to call the Republican reps in addition to the Democrat reps. You know what you're going to get from the Democrats, from Alma Adams and people like that. They're not going to want to do anything in terms of enforcement. You've got to pressure the Republicans to do it. And for whatever reason, the Republicans are a little shaky on the issues of enforcement measures. You know what? Shut down the House and push as many measures as you can dealing with immigration and security, and see what happens. Make them answer those charges. Unfortunately, Kevin McCarthy wants to be in control, but he does not want to be in command.
Well, I thank you, Brett, and love your show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Doug. I appreciate you being out there. It's really that simple, folks. I mean, we either have a border or we don't have a border. We either have the laws or we don't have the laws. And just because special interest groups want the border open doesn't mean you have to give in to them. 704-570-1110. We got another great hour straight ahead. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
Fox has no Elvis in him.
Yeah, and Elvis is in Joan Rivers, but he's trying to get out, man. He's trying to get out. Listen up, Joni, baby. Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. Hour number two, 704-570-1110. Got folks queuing up on hold. I want to take those calls, so stick around there. I'm going to take them very, very quickly. Not going to leave you hanging. But I got to share with you a couple of things that are so hugely important. I'd be remiss if we didn't do a dive on some of this stuff. It's interesting to look at this fallout that's taking place right now as a result of the raid on Mar-a-Lago. I've not made this a front and center issue to dominate every single program I do. And there's a reason for that, because I think there are a number of other challenges that are out there happening that we need to be aware of in as much as anything else. But let me say this, okay? And it's important to note this. I mentioned this on Twitter a little while ago, and I think it's worth mentioning. I wanted to know if any of you guys saw what I saw. Did you see it? That FBI raid that took place on the SCOTUS Dobbs leaker. I mean, it was shocking. They took out boxes of evidence. They made sure to get that dirty insurrectionist that leaked that Supreme Court opinion in advance of the decision coming down. I mean, I almost felt proud watching that take place as they gather it up outside that town home in Washington, D.C., and they went in there and they took the person out, pulled them out, put them in the back of the van, drove away with all the boxes and the evidence, and justice will be done as a result of the... Wait a minute, what are you talking about? Wait, that never happened? Wait, we didn't do a raid on the Dobbs leaker? What happened? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I thought we were about justice, and I thought we were about continuity, and I thought we were about the system working. What about hashtag wrong way Ray? What about hashtag clown Prince Garland? I mean, when did that raid happen? Oh, it didn't happen. And it's never going to happen because the wrong side is implicated. Now, people are used to this two-tier system in our country. They are. But it's not just about a two-tier system of justice in our country. It's about a game that's being run on each and every one of you. It was hot during the Trump administration talking about being gaslighted. Donald Trump is gaslighting us. We're being gaslit. It's a terminology that was born in the 1920s and 30s when the communists were really, really in vogue on college campuses. And what they would do is they would say, I'm going to make you into a crazy person. I'm going to take a hat and I'm going to put it on the table and you're going to try to put that hat on to go home at night and the hat's going to be too tight. And then when you come in the morning and you put the hat on, it's going to be too loose and you're going to think you're going crazy because the hat was supposed to be exactly the same hat. That's gaslighting. It's a nuanced kind of concept that gets used in the world of propaganda. I want to talk about smoke screening. Smoke screening. Because that's what's happening here. Now get your mind out of the gutter. We're not talking about a smoke show. I'm talking about smoke screening. Look at what they do. It's so elementary. Look at what they do. Mar-a-Lago was cover for the inflation bill scam. How do you justify that, Brett? What are you talking about? Mar-a-Lago is a big story. Sure it is. But what was the biggest part of the inflation bill scam that's been offered up by the Democrats and Joe Manchin? It was the IRS hirings of 87,000 new jackbooted IRS enforcers that are going to come knocking on your door. Right? The IRS hearing, those IRS hirings were what was being covered up for in the Mar-a-Lago raid. But what were the IRS hirings distracting from? Well, the climate change outrage. The climate change outrage. The fact that we're going to take billions and billions of dollars, $300 billion, and stick them right up our smokestacks and burn them, thinking that somehow that's going to bring the planet's temperature down. While we go to war with mom and dads who have got shorter margins than ever before, and we're going to make them go buy an electric car? Are you kidding me? Why only one vapid person can say this in as perfect a way as necessary? Jenny Granholm, oh gosh, Jenny Granholm, who was once the governor of Michigan, oh gosh, oh golly. And she was on CNN talking about how the inflation bill's going to help you save money. Listen to her bragging about a bunch of nonsense. Go.
Oh, this first of all, immediately, people will be able to lower the fuel costs in their home. There's a 30% tax credit that you can claim in 2022 for installing energy efficient windows, heat pumps, energy efficient appliances.
Yeah, just go buy them.
That is right away.
And all that cash.
On top of that, of course, if citizens want to install solar panels on their roofs so that they can generate their own power, that's another 30% tax credit.
Amazing.
And Of course, there's the tax credits that are at the dealership for the automotive sector, for electric vehicles. So, and if you install an electric vehicle charging station in your home, you can also get a tax credit. So there's many ways that this bill lowers the costs for everyday citizens. And that's one of the reasons why it's...
All right, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this. This is insane. This is pablum coming from a person who once formerly had some responsibility in the state of Michigan. So they're telling you that all you got to do is go spend $70,000 on an electric car and then another $5,000 on a charging station in your garage, and you're going to save money. We're going to subsidize it and cut you back a couple of bucks. Go buy yourself some brand new appliances. Buy yourself an electric car. Buy yourself a solar array. Buy yourself a solar system while you're at it. If we buy the whole solar system, how much money do we get back then, Gov? You ever put an HVAC system in your house? You ever had to put an HVAC system in your house? You're talking $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 per unit. I mean, it's very expensive to put an HVAC system in your house. But these folks think that they can trick you into buying into Bidenism. Bidenism makes no sense in the same way the president makes no sense when he talks about policy. You're being smokescreened. Mar-a-Lago was to cover for the inflation bill. The IRS hearings, the IRS hirings were distractions from the spending that you're going to have to do to just keep up. We are in a recession. That's why gas prices are coming down. The economy is slowing. And their answer is to tell you to go out and get more into hock. Are you kidding me? 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I mean, I got a tin cup here, Boomer.
Yes.
And I got some pencils. I'm going to try to sell them because I got to pay for my kids' college. But I'm just going to break it to my wife tonight that we're not going to send her to college. Instead, what we're going to do is I'm going to go buy an electric car and it's going to make us all rich.
That's it. The electric
hum,
car.
The hum of efficiency.
It will never work in NASCAR, will it?
It never
will. Never work in NASCAR.
Ain't gonna work in the Baja 5000. Ain't gonna work on any of that. News Talk. 1110. 99.3. WBT, Brett Winterble Show. Good to be here. 45 years. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. 45 years since Elvis passed. This bit of wisdom came in. I like this. This is from Don. Don knows what time it is. If I can't afford milk and bread, there's probably a good chance I'm not going to go out and buy solar panels. I think that's a really good. I think it's a really good guess there. For sure. Ron, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett, how you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Okay, Brett, talking about what the administration's doing about the ex-governor talking about tax credits and whatnot, I have myself in a position where I said, okay, I'm going to buy an electric vehicle. I wanted a particular plug-in hybrid. Okay, number one, you cannot get this car because they don't make enough of them at the manufacturer. Okay,
right.
If you were to get a car of this kind, if the dealer was going to sell you one, what they do is they charge you what's known as a market adjustment, and that's up to $15,000 on top of the MSRP. So the consumer, myself, is railroaded every different way, you know, on this pipe dream the government's got about going to electric vehicles, because it's almost impossible to do it.
Yeah, and see, that's the problem, because you are building a market for companies that don't want to produce more. And I'm not saying that the car companies don't want to produce as many cars as they can, but they have a fixed limit, like you're saying. And so what happens is the $70,000 car now becomes a $130,000 car because of scarcity issues.
So if you think you're going to save some money on gas, or if you think you're going to save some money on a tax credit, you're living a dream, because it ain't happening.
See, and here's the interesting point, because I was thinking about this during the weekend. I was thinking about the idea that if people were smart, they would go out and purchase these cars that are being cast off in exchange for an electric car? Because I don't believe gasoline vehicles are going away anytime. I don't think they're going away in the next 30 years. We don't have the capacity to manufacture on a mass quantity of the electric cars that you would want to do. And so, I mean, now would be the time to go pick up like a luxury big old SUV. It's not, the gasoline is going to continue to be sold. I mean, it just is, because that's how the economy runs.
Well, the government thinks that they're going to do it this way, but they don't understand how the real world works.
That's correct.
In reality, and it's just it's frustrating for the consumer.
Very.
I can't afford one now. I've got myself in the position I can't afford one. But guess what? It's impossible. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to throw $15,000 away.
You're right. But then think about this in addition. Think about where we live, okay? We get storms, heavy-duty storms. You could have a hurricane come right through here, as has happened in the past. And if we were going to evacuate, if everybody had to get on the road and get to higher ground or get to some other place, and everybody plugs in to pull the energy out of the grid to charge up your car to drive 100 miles, and then you get on the roads and the roads are jammed, what are you going to do for energy when all your cars just start conking out right there in the middle of 77 or 85?
Yeah, well, they're not thinking. They're not. They're trying to fool the public, and I think some people are biting. But once you get into really purchasing one, you'll see where the rubber hits the road. It's strange.
That's right. And wait till you have to replace the battery. That's a whole other ordeal. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. And Erickson's got the update. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. See, I don't want to bring people down. I want to be truthful and honest and straightforward, but I don't want to bring anybody down. But sometimes I have to play some sound for you that's going to make you smile in just a little tiny, teeny, tiny way. This is going to be cut number 14, okay? Cut number 14. You know Jamie Raskin from his most recent hits, including Impeachment 1 and Impeachment 2. Jamie Raskin is now one of the big kahunas on the J6 committee. And Jamie Raskin was all excited talking about how great this Inflation Control Act thing is going to be at helping us out until he gets asked a question that he apparently cannot answer. Cut 14.
As soon as the act goes into effect, I hope that all of the provisions will begin to work. I know that those who've been blaming President Biden for the inflation going up are now giving President Biden all the credit for inflation going down. So we're moving things in the right direction already.
Yeah, and what parts of the bill do you think will quickly work on that specifically?
Next question.
Come on! God, that is so unfair to ask Jamie Raskin what parts of the bill are going to bring the relief from inflation the quickest. Next question. No, listen, this is great. TJ, I just spent $740 billion, TJ, on doing some great stuff for us. And it's especially going to be good for you, TJ. And then you're going to say to me, well, really, what part? Hey, I don't have time for this.
Next question.
I don't have time to answer a bunch of questions coming at me about this thing we passed. That's really, we spent the $740 billion. And Jamie Raskin, maybe you didn't understand. Let me ask him again. Okay, so will it be the hiring of 87,000 IRS agents, or will it be the transfer $300 billion in money going out to gosh knows who, gosh knows where, all around the world, $300 billion just floating out? Can you tell me which part's going to work?
Next question.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Wow. You see how we get played? That's how we get played. And we will put up with the government that we have. Just ask Jim. Jim, welcome to the program. Jim, how are you?
I'm well, but you're absolutely right. They're playing us like a Stradivarius, like a dreadnought guitar in Elvis's hand.
Look absolutely. At this. Look at this. Look at this. He closed the circle there. He did a callback on two different levels. Well done, Jim.
Thank you. just allow me a little bit of time to tell people what Elvis, what you love about Elvis, what everybody loves about Elvis, is the autonomous and independent expression he made was so typically American. The nihilism that is the backbone of rock and roll is what appeals to everybody. It's what made people like the Animals and the Beatles imitate his sound. Muddy Waters, Carl Perkins, the American originals is what the world aspired to at the time. And that's what everybody loves about Americans is their independent expression.
You know, that's really a great point, because do you know what the entertainment business represents, Jim, at its core? Do you know what the entertainment business represents?
The business represents money.
Well, it does, but it really represents opportunity. It really represents opportunity, okay? Because elite Bostonians, okay, could enjoy Elvis's music not knowing anything about him, right? They just hear it. They hear it on a record. They hear him singing. It really is. It's a matter of what you like to listen to and what you like to consume. It's choice. It's choice, and it's based on performance, which is incredible.
Yes, absolutely. The American expressions of music in the rock genre inspired so many people around the world. The oppression that was in the United Kingdom that inspired so many people to pick up guitars and learn, like Def Leppard, they stayed in a spoon factory for 5 to 6 years perfecting their song to bring it to America. There are just so many, examples.
Okay, I'll take you on the Def Leppard, but let's go to like Zeppelin, okay? Let's go to like Zeppelin, yeah, and say, okay, absolutely, they performed music that was traditionally blues based, where you have artists that did not get discovered in the ways in which they should have been discovered. You listen to something like In My Time of Dying. You listen to all of that stuff that Zeppelin produces with homages and covers on the blues numbers, and it's absolutely incredible.
Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, just with his guitar, his dobro, or his harmonica. And they took it and made it something that the entire world
could know
about.
That's right. And rock and roll, at the end of the day, rock and roll originated as a very specific genre attracted by a very specific group of people, and it eventually became worldwide, and it's actually the thing that took the hammer to the hammer and the sickle in the Soviet Union, Jim. That's ultimately what happened. Rock and roll broke the commies.
That's right. And one anecdote that I remember from the Cold War is the East German guards were standing there, and somebody went up to the wall with a TV that they had to put an extension cord on and put it on the walls and said, see, they're gone.
That's right.
They're like, who's gone? And they go, the tanks. The Russian tanks are gone. Look, they're going back to Moscow. CNN was a credible outlet. And the guards went and sent somebody to go check to see if there was anybody at the armory. He came back and said, the tanks, it's true, they're gone.
That's right.
And the East German guards, at that point, they all went home. They just left their post. They hadn't been paid in months.
They shut it down. They shut it down and they went home. That's exactly right. Jim, a great call. A terrific call, I would say. Stan's up next. Hello, Stan.
Hey, Brett, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I wanted to come in on the lady that said something about all of the tax deductions you can get for adding all those green energy.
Yeah, Jennifer Granholm. Yes.
Yes. Well, the one thing is, if you can go specifically to California, only 11% of people can actually afford to buy a home.
Yes.
I know North Carolina last year, in just 1 year, it went from to qualify for the average home here, instead of having a salary of $53,000, you got to now have a salary of $72,000. So basically, more people are going to be renters and won't even own homes. So where are we going to find any landlords going to improve their properties like that?
Yeah, no, you're right. Because what's going to end up happening? You're going to end up having to build charging parks. Right? You're going to have to. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to build these places where you have to sit for 6 hours charging your car. Think about it, Stan, let's have a business meeting over at the charging park. Yeah?
Yes.
What are we going to do over there? So we'll have the charging park, and then they'll have some kind of an attraction. We can go sit on a merry-go-round and drink coffee for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Boy, that's going to be awesome.
You have the clients meet you there.
Yeah, we're gonna meet me on the Ferris wheel over there at the charging park. We'll do deals. Relationships will develop of a variety of sorts at the charging park. Were you at the charging park all day today? Yes, I was. Why? Because my Mazda needed to be charged. Are you secretly seeing other chargers?
Reason people will save money on energy costs, mm-hmm, is that'll be volunteer because they won't be able to afford it anymore.
No, it won't. You'll have to buy a membership to the charging park, and then you know what'll happen. You'll put on Dr. Phil one afternoon, and you'll find out that a couple of people got a little frisky at the charging park, and you're gonna have, it's gonna be a whole new causes belli for divorce. They're gonna be like, "Oh, he was in love. He fell in love at the charging park. How could you be surprised? He was there for 6 hours chatting up the ladies, or the ladies were chatting up the ladies, or the man was chatting up the man, or whatever it is. I don't want to judge." It's gonna.
Why don't you and I get together and see how we can monetize this going forward?
Excuse me, I'm a happily married man, Stan. I don't know that I need to go meet anybody at a charging park.
She thinks you're super delicious.
Oh no, Stan, you are a phenomenal American. That's hey, boom. I mean, I remember a song that I heard once upon a time when I was a little kid called Down at Palisades Park.
Freddie Boom Boom Cannon.
Now, right? So you're going to have Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, yeah, probably a cousin of yours, Mr. Cannon.
From Tallahassee, Florida.
You're going to have...
you're going to have... Man.
Last night I took a walk in the dark because my car didn't go to the charging park.
You're going to end up like Elvis, huh? Uh-huh.
The world's a stage and each must play a part.
Oh, God. Oh, man. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. See, even Elvis broke out laughing. See how that goes? 704-570-1110. He's actually laughing about the charging part. That's what he's doing. Okay, enough of this laughing Elvis. We like the singing Elvis. You know what I'm saying? That's what we really want to hear, the singing Elvis. By the way, hotcars.com, that's called hotcars.com, says the 1964 Pontiac GTO was the best muscle car ever made. That's their assessment. Released October 1, 1963, the Pontiac GTO featured a tri-powered 389 CID V8 engine that could burst your eardrums with how loud it was, TJ. The Pontiac Motor Division managed to surprise the motoring world when they began to produce factory-built high-performance cars. The parent company, General Motors, capped the size of the engines to just 330 cubic inches. And the V8s were in midsize cars. So that's what you got right there. They're saying that's the best car. That was the best, baddest car ever. And people probably disagree. I wasn't around for them. So, you know, I've just got to go on speculation. And of course, the almighty understanding that wiser heads can prevail, except in this administration. 704-570-1110. Let's take a look at this, if we can, for a quick second. You have a situation where these illegal immigrants that are coming into the country are now going around the country and turning to panhandling. Are you? I wonder about this. Are you still allowed to say panhandling in 2022? Has that become like a cancelable terminology? Because are you sitting out there with a pan? This happens, Dateline, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Though I've seen this right around here as well. I've seen this off 77. I've seen this even into South Carolina. A McDonald's employee in Chattanooga, Tennessee, called the local police to respond to East Coast-bound illegal migrants panhandling in the area that they were bussed into by Greg Abbott. The illegal migrants were transported on one of the buses that Abbott sent to Washington, D.C. and New York City. It's not clear where the bus was bound. Abbott's office did not respond to the Daily Caller News Foundation requests for comment. But they said that they had to go out there and remove them from the premises at the McDonald's, which they in turn started sitting over at the gas station. So they left the McDonald's. They went and they sat by the gas station, and folks were were trying to get money from people to I guess just to survive. An employee of the Comfort Inn and Suites Hotel nearby also confirmed the buses stopped at their location to change drivers, and some of the migrants are allowed to stay in the area. If they have family in the area, they're allowed to go because they have documentation. They're allowed to get off. A sheriff in Georgia also shared concerns about the migrant buses he's encountering in Dade County, saying illegal migrants appear to be encouraged to depart the bus where they're told that they could walk to Chattanooga. That sounds like a song there, TJ. It sounds like a song that Elvis could have written, Walking to Chattanooga. Depends on where he started. If he started in Memphis and he's walking to Chattanooga, that's going to be a trip. That's going to take a minute. Sheriff Cross, what a great name for a sheriff, approached the subjects and found the bus was transporting illegal migrants from Texas en route to D.C. The bus driver advised this was one of their stops along the route. Several illegal immigrants had already decided to get off the bus and end their trip in, another great name for a town, Rising Fawn. Now, Democratic mayors like Eric Adams of New York City and the legendary Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C. She's legendary because of her decision not to allow the National Guard to come in to the city of D.C. During the riot back in January of 2021, have criticized Abbott for, quote, tricking and forcing the migrants onto buses to their cities, claiming that this is not fair and not nice. So, look, if I sneak into Mexico, are they going to put me on a bus and let me just take a free ride down to Oaxaca or Michoacan or Tamaulipas? I mean, are they going to let me do that? Are they going to be like, hey, Mr. Winterbull, would you like to get a ride, a free ride? How about a free ride down to Tamaulipas or Chiapas? I mean, this is what we're talking about, folks. All right, we got another great hour straight ahead. 704-570-1110. Newstalk, 1110, 993 WBT.
When you call my name, as you know, I'm going to treat you right again.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. 704-570-1110 is our phone number. If you've been hearing some of the reports that I've been hearing involving Iranian assets on American soil looking to murder people, no doubt you're as concerned about it as I am. Apparently, this has now become a thing in the wake of the attack on what you saw with Salman Rushdie back on Friday. There are a number of dissidents and activists who are working for a freer Iran who are being targeted by the regime in one way or another. And here's the crazy part of this whole thing. That regime is still in negotiations with Joe Biden and Tony Blinken and Vice President Harris and John Kerry and the whole lot of those folks to try to cut a deal with the United States to let them have nuclear materials to create, quote, energy. And I don't trust the Iranian regime as far as I can throw them. But, like, let's do an A-B comparison here, okay? Because I don't know if you're familiar with the Atlantic magazine, but the Atlantic magazine is a vile left-wing rag. I don't want them put out of business. I don't want them censored. I don't want any of that, right? I'm just commenting about what the Atlantic is all about. They're a highly partisan elite magazine that looks their nose down at regular working people in the country. And so here you have in Iran, the IRGC and Soleimani. They wanted to kill John Bolton in the last couple of weeks. They tried to kill one of the activists who's frequently seen on television here in the United States. They wanted to murder her at her own apartment. They attacked Salman Rushdie. And yet, who is the biggest problem as far as the Atlantic magazine is concerned? Christians, a specific group of Christians, Catholics. The Atlantic wrote a piece that likens the rosary, you know, rosary beads, that likens rosaries to an AR-15 assault weapon. This was an attack that was put up on Sunday. Quote, just as the AR-15 rifle has become a sacred object for Christian nationalists in general, the rosary has acquired a militaristic meaning for radical traditional Catholics, writes soy boy Daniel Penitin in the Atlantic article released the day before the Assumption of the Virgin Mary. Never mind that the highest profile rosary wielding U.S. Catholic is President Joe Biden, Penitin powers forward, alleging darkly that armed radical traditionalist Christians and Catholics have taken up a spiritual notion that the rosary can be a weapon in the fight against evil and turned it into something dangerous and literal. See, this is why you cannot talk to pagans about faith. And I'm going to assume, my own assumption, I don't know what his story is, but I'm going to guess that Panatin here is sort of in that worshiping Gaia kind of universe, because he gets it wrong on two accounts. Number one, people who are people of faith can own firearms. You don't have to combine the two. If you really want to combine the two, maybe you should go take a trek over to Qom or over to Riyadh or over to Kabul, where you do have people who are avowed fundamentalists using weapons to try to oppress people. Christians are not doing that. It is not in the it is not in the line of Christianity to pick up a weapon and shoot people. Okay, I can assure you. But here's where this maniac goes off the rails. Quote: militia culture, a fetishism of Western civilization, and masculinist anxieties have become mainstays of the far right in the U.S. And rad trad Catholics have now taken up residence in this company. Who is this guy? Well, Panatin goes on to assert that, quote, the far right's constellations of violent, racist, and homophobic online milieus are well documented for providing a pathway to radicalization and real world terrorist attacks. Man, I remember. I mean, do you guys remember that unbelievable terrorist attack carried out by Catholic priests who blew up that building over it? It's because it didn't happen. It didn't happen. This guy's offended that Catholic online stores sell replicas of the rosaries issued to American soldiers during the First World War, and that they're described as combat rosaries. That's because they were carried into combat so those people could pray. And really, when you're praying a rosary, all you're praying is the Gospels. To which can be added a, quote, concealed carry permit storage box resembling an ammunition can. See, this is what you're seeing. And how many times have you seen churches, organizations that are working as crisis pregnancy centers, pro-life institutions being attacked by Jane Sent Us, Ruth's Revenge, Antifa, actual communists? How many times have you seen that in the news? You've seen it a lot in the last 3 and 4 months. For whatever reason, and I think we all know what's going on here, you are still allowed to victimize Christians. And nobody will raise a voice about that except other Christians. And that's what makes these maniacs like Daniel Penitin so upset. Because you can threaten people who are people of faith. You can yell and degrade people who are people of faith. And you can try to dissuade people from being people of faith. But I got news for you, Daniel Penitin. This faith, the Christian faith, overcame the Caesars, overcame the Soviets, overcame the Nazis, overcame the Japanese militarists, and overcame a big string of folks who did not uphold the values within their churches of what Christ preached. You are a blip on a cell on the backside of a toad. I'm not one to preach, but I'm one who understands the gates of hell shall not prevail. Good luck. Good luck. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Boomer Von Cannon.
Yes, sir.
Earlier I was talking about that 1964 GTO, man, woo, that Pontiac.
Woo.
I want to go get one now before they have to get turned into a charging station.
My gosh, we can't do that to a classic car like that, can we, man?
You can't make that electric?
No, come
What's
on,
wrong with
man.
That, man.
That GTO, no.
That's got to be acoustic, Boomer.
That's just, that's Good. Sinful. No,
Amen.
You can't do that, man.
How we doing on the road?
Little sister, don't you.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. Let's go back out and talk to some of the great folks who have been patiently holding on. We are not going to have Crossing the Streams today. We will pick that back up. We have kind of a fluid schedule this week. I'm going to be out tomorrow, but then I'll be back on Thursday with the coach and then into Friday. But we've got folks who are doing back-to-school stuff with their kids, back-to-college stuff with their kids. You can count me among them. And we will just be taking phone calls here. So let's jump out and talk to John. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Hey, you know, before I start, let me just say this. I know I'll probably never be the caller of the day, but I am the caller of this minute, and I'm going to wear that as a badge of honor for the rest of my days. And no matter what, Biden can never take that away from me.
You know what? Because of your bravery, I am going to make you the caller of the day.
Hello.
Yo, guys, how you doing?
Congratulations, you're the caller of the day. Brought to you by High Performance Real Estate Advisors.
Now you got to deliver the goods.
Well, here, let me start right off the bat. Governor Abbott should be given the Medal of Freedom, Presidential Medal of Honor, whatever the highest thing is that we can give him. What he is doing is genius. He's taken this to the other cities that are off the border who have no consequences mm-hmm. to their actions, and he is taking it right to them and saying, look, this is a direct result of your actions and your party's policies, mm-hmm. and now he is, you know, making them feel the pain. It's funny how quickly they started crying. I mean, they just got a drop. A couple hundred of these immigrants, and they go screaming. Texas and Arizona have been dealing with hundreds of thousands.
It is, and isn't it interesting that you don't have so many coming across into California? They must know what the deal is in California.
Well, I mean, there's not much difference between Tijuana and California. Anyway.
That's a good point.
You know, they're trying to improve their life.
That's a good point. But you know what? You raise an important point here, John, because if you look at the reaction they've gotten, right? They've got 300-400 people have been sent into New York City, and maybe, I don't know, 1,000 or so have been sent into Washington, D.C. You don't see Bowser and you don't see Adams or Hochul there in New York going on TV saying, don't make the dangerous journey. Stay where you are. You shouldn't come in. That's a very dangerous thing. They're allowing all these girls and young boys to face all kinds of violence and abuse. These coyotes that are smuggling them, abuse. But you don't see a single solitary governor or mayor who's got blue on their stripe telling these folks to stay where they are, where they're safe.
Well, that would undercut their whole policy.
Yeah,
but what they're doing is they're saying, okay, the government needs to bail us out, the federal government.
That's right.
You know, it's always more money from the federal government's their answer.
You know, this is absurd. In your travels, when you talk to people, is immigration a serious issue, or is it really the recession? Is it the craziness with the Green New Deal stuff? You know, like a 1-3 ranking. Where is immigration coming in on these issues?
I would say, well, not just immigration, but the open borders.
The open border.
Total
right.
lack of control of the borders
right.
would be in probably the top three, maybe four.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the crumbling economy is everybody's mm-hmm. first concern because that's directly hurting them. But, you know, when you get, you know, dig a little deeper, all these illegal immigrations are hurting them too. I mean, you know, that's cutting into their money indirectly. but it still hurts them. But, yeah, people are very concerned because, as you say, not only is there the human trafficking going on, but the just complete pipeline of drugs coming into this country, you know, it's scary. You know, people here in North Carolina, Union County, people are overdosing daily, you know, on these illegal drugs that are being smuggled in. So, yeah, people are very concerned. But, you know, Biden doesn't care.
Is Liz Cheney going to win tonight?
Oh, no. The only question about Liz Cheney is, does she go to MSNBC, CNN, or the Biden administration?
Yes, I think it's the third. I think she ends up joining the Biden administration. That's what I think she'll do.
She'd be the Secretary of Interior or something.
Uh-huh. Or the ambassador to Wyoming.
I know a place to send her, but...
All right, you know what, John? You acquitted yourself well. This has not happened since I've been here, and we've been doing Caller of the Day. You called the shot. You did a called shot Babe Ruth style, man, and you got the Caller of the Day. In fact, TJ, he's the Caller of the Day.
Hello.
Am I on?
Hi.
You've just heard the Call of the Day, brought to you by High Performance Real Estate Advisors.
Good stuff, man.
I'm
appreciate you.
Tears of joy.
That's how you should. You wear it proudly, my friend. Wear it proudly. God bless you, John. Terry. Terry has been a caller of the day in the past. What's on your mind today, Terry?
Hey, Brett. You were talking earlier about the muscle cars.
Yes.
And was it 64 or 74 GTO you were talking about?
64.
My brother had a Plymouth GTX, 440 cubic inches, and the speedometer registered 160 miles per hour. And I had a Camaro, 350 cubic inches, that registered 130 miles per hour. And when I was 22 years old and stupid.
Yeah.
I had it at 120 miles per hour on US 74 racing another car from the light from Matthews to Stallings back in those days. I'm talking about 1977. And I had the 120 miles per hour.
Whoa.
But I got outrun by a Mustang Cobra GT.
Look at this. Look at this. Now you're lucky. You're lucky, though. You're lucky, Terry.
I'm very lucky. I was stupid.
The statute of limitations has run. You are safe. They can't come and write you a ticket. You know what I'm saying now?
Yeah, I don't think the GTO 64 was as fast as some of the other cars that came along.
Well, we're going to have to we'll consider it. One of these Fridays, we'll do it. We'll bust out the conversation about these vehicles and which was superior and which was inferior. Great stuff from Terry. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. We got a great guest coming up here. You're going to want to hear about this. Don't go anywhere. But first, definitely don't go anywhere because Anna Erickson's got the update. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Wooderville Show. Great to be here with you. I want to welcome to the show somebody whose work I've become acquainted with and whose work I greatly admire. His name is Christian Watson. And Christian Watson is a guy who's doing a lot of big thinking. All right. He is a spokesman for Color Us United. And he's got a tremendous piece that I came across that I think is fascinating. The left's idea of diversity is only skin deep. The piece opens with President Joe Biden has repeatedly said he wants to make his administration, quote, look like America. His implication is that true equality isn't possible until the federal government represents every single demographic and group in the country. And unfortunately, that message is exactly what's wrong with diversity, equity, and inclusion narrative being sold across the nation. Good to have you on the program, Christian. Tell us the fundamental flaw in that idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. So the fundamental flaw of DEI is very simple. It rejects the importance of the individual. It rejects the importance of the individual to social dynamics, social situations, and things of that sort. Because what DEI does, DEI views everybody in terms of a category based on superficial characteristics such as your race, your gender, your sexuality, and things of that sort. And then they use those categories to try to find out something intelligible about you, something about your history, about your success in life, things of that sort. And the problem is, individuals are successful, individuals fail, not groups. But DEI focuses entirely on the group dynamics that they believe influence history and influence the country. And to have a nation built upon, you know, objective morality, built upon the idea that the individual is an important part of society and the protection of the individual's rights is also important. To have a country built upon those ideas, reject those ideas by embracing DEI, is nothing short of disastrous.
You note in this piece that you penned, here's the problem, America doesn't even, quote, look like America. What does that mean?
So there is this perverse idea going around the political discussion that our institutions in America need to, quote, unquote, look like America. What that means is they need to have more what they would call representation. Now, there's a very difficult problem with this, because geographically there is no way to have representation in all circumstances. So if you would compare a state like Mississippi to North Dakota,
right,
how would you represent people in those two states when the demographics of those two states are radically different? Mississippi has more African Americans, and North Dakota has more Caucasians, more white Americans. So how do you represent people in that instance? But there's also a bigger thing here. We have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be an American? Does it mean that you look a certain way, that you have naturalization papers, that you have a Social Security number or a birth certificate that is comes from a U.S. hospital? No. What it means to be an American is to be philosophically committed to the fundamental tenets of our founding, to individual liberty, to natural law, to natural rights, and to speak and live those tenets in your everyday life as much as you can. That's what it meant, and that's what it still means to be an American. And if we accept America or being an American as a value statement, as opposed to a box of appearances that we have to check, we will better understand what that term means. And we will have a very effective justification as to why we should ditch DEI.
Have you run into resistance from some of the more popular individuals who are pushing for this sort of a DEI model? I'm thinking of people that you see routinely appearing on MSNBC or CNN, people who are very well-paid professors who go around the country trying to push for this, Ibram X. Kendi and people like that. Have you run into pushback on campuses and in businesses when you're having these conversations?
On campuses, not necessarily, but I have run into pushback generally. I've gotten some critiques from people, some people who are not very recognizable. But I also had the president of the Greater Springfield, Massachusetts NAACP, Bishop Talbert Swan, attack me for my work on this issue and on other race-related issues. Now, Bishop Swan himself is a rather eminent person. He has a lot of followers on social media. He has advised presidents and politicians. He's marched alongside Al Sharpton. So this is a rather known entity. And he attacked me for my work on race and for not necessarily catering to the agenda of the race merchants that are so prominent in our society. So not any major resistance, but I've had a bit of resistance, yes.
As you look at this, especially talking to younger people, you've got a new generation of young people coming up into the business world, into academia and things like that. Are you finding that people are more responsive to this messaging or more resistant to the messaging of working towards a colorblind country?
You know, Color Rush United did work with Echelon Insights, a polling center, and we found out that a lot of people in corporate America actually don't mind DEI at all, which is unfortunate. There are a lot of people coming out of colleges, going into corporate America, or people who are already settled in corporate America who accept DEI or just are indifferent towards it. And, you know, freedom dies amid apathy. You know, truth is attacked amid apathy. Apathy is an attack on truth. Because if you really want to understand the nature of things, you have to understand the truth. But if you just don't care enough to investigate a particular subject that actually pertains to your work or your life, then you're basically saying you don't care enough about the truth. That is a very harmful admission. That's the deal. That's what's happening with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what we have to avoid.
Great stuff. The organization is colorusunited.org, colorusunited.org. In our final 30 seconds, what's your pitch to this audience, how they can get involved and what they can do with you?
If you guys want to follow our work, you can go to colorusunited.org, or you can go to any of our social media, which are all on our website, colorusunited.org. You can follow me at Twitter, which is going to be at Official C. Watson. That is at Official C. Watson. I post a lot of stuff on there. I have a lot of Coloration Addict related stuff and all a lot of general commentary and philosophy stuff if you're into that as well.
It's great stuff. Christian, I'm wishing you all the best, and please do stay in touch with us. This is going to be a big issue, especially getting into the election period and then afterwards. We'd certainly love to hear more about what you all are doing at colorusunited.org. Appreciate your time today, sir.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Boomer Von Cannon's got a look at the road. In a city beset by a smoldering tractor trailer that once had meat and produce. Smoldering on the side of a road, a newsman waits for his live shot. That newsman is not Mark Garrison.
It's not me, no, sir. My television live shot days are long gone.
Wait, if you're doing the live shot, you got to have this sound effect going. You ready?
Yeah. That's right. The helicopter.
The helicopter.
Yeah.
What do we got going on tonight on Charlotte at 6, Mark Garrison?
We got all kinds of stuff going on. This is interesting. A conservative group sponsored a rollback in gas prices today at a Charlotte gas station for 90 minutes. It was $2.38 a gallon. And if you don't think high gas prices are hurting people, you should. Oh man, the line for that was unbelievable.
So we have two completely different circumstances for traffic jams in Charlotte at the same time.
That's right.
Wow.
And of course, this comes on a day when the president signed that inflation reduction bill, which will tax oil companies and likely raise prices at the pump.
That means I can afford one more tater tot.
That's right. when I was out there doing the story at the gas pumps, and I would tell people I was with WBT, several of them said, "Oh, tell Brett Winterbull hi."
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah, so passing that along for
you. Sounded a lot like the governor.
Hey now.
How are we doing?
Do you get edgy shopping at night?
Shopping? Where am I shopping?
Well,
like,
just anywhere.
A supermarket?
Yeah.
No, I enjoy shopping at night. I prefer it.
Do you really? A new survey says nearly half of Americans now are nervous or just outright afraid of crime when they're shopping. And some stores, they're not too reassuring. Food Lion has gone from having armed guards in their stores to kids with cell phones wearing security shirts.
No kid. See, that's interesting. I was worried during the my son worked at Carowinds, and I would be worried when he come home late at night.
Yeah.
But that was mostly because of on the freeway and stuff, the highway.
Exactly.
So that's it.
635 Dirty Restaurant. Tuesday, a Rock Hill Mexican restaurant that TJ really likes has a pathetic score.
TJ, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What's next, TJ? You're going to drink that Fort Mill water that's got the boil water on it, too?
I would never.
And a lack of hand washing and other problems at a Boston Market in Matthews.
No, say it ain't so.
Oh, it is. Are you a Boston Market fan?
I was in college. I don't eat at the Boston Market as much as I did once upon a time. Can I ask a question? Because I needed
Absolutely.
A piece of information from earlier in the week.
Sure.
Who won the news off?
Oh, Anna.
Look at that.
I mean, she whipped those boys. She humiliated them and shamed them. Yes.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. You know what? I think that we've got one heck of a show lined up for us here, Mark
Harrison.
Well,
I hope so. No burning trucks, though.
No, we don't need the burning trucks. Don't burn your gas. Don't burn your... Just behave yourself shopping late at night.
That's right. That's
you know, don't be a thrill seeker. Okay? Laffy Taffy can wait till the morning. You don't have to drive out to get the Laffy Taffy.
That's exactly right.
All right, Mark Garrison. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to listening to this on my way home. Charlotte at 6, 704-570-1110. I sincerely appreciate when people say hello to me. And Mark Garrison, I was just joking, obviously, about it sound like the governor. But when Mark Garrison telling me that there are people who enjoy this show, I can't tell you how much I love doing this show. And so here's the deal. Tomorrow, I'm going to be out just for the one day. I'm going to be out just for tomorrow because I got to go do that thing you got to do with college kids. You know, you got to go put them, move them in and get all their stuff set up and do that sort of stuff. So I got to do that tomorrow. So I'm going to be away just for the one day. And then I'll be back in on Thursday with the coach. But here's what I want to say about the folks that are taking their kids down to school. As frustrating and as annoying as, you know, traffic and dealing with the bureaucracy and all that kind of stuff when you're trying to bring your kids to school, we ought to be thankful for something. And it's something I regret that I haven't brought up yet this year. We are so lucky to be able to take these kids back to school and they're not masked and they're not, you know, the staccato kind of hours and the when you can come in and every other day you go to school. We are finally, at least as far as I can tell, back to where we sort of were, or back to where we were running at the end of 2019 with an eye towards 2020. We have an opportunity now for our kids to go to school, to have the proms, to have the homecomings, to have the events, and to be kids again. And I'm so grateful for the teachers that are out there and the administrators that are out there doing this, because that is not a thankless job in so many ways. I'm just so happy. I'm happy for the school resource officers that are out there that are helping to keep people safe, because we remember those dark, dark days in 20 and 21 with events being canceled, the school year being blown up. I mean, it was really sad. It was really frustrating. And I am happy to know that that group of kids that graduated under those circumstances are going to at least get a year or 2 years of normalcy back, and that the kids who are younger are able to come into a more normal environment instead of being forced to wear masks all day long and bow at the feet of El Faucho. And I think that's a hugely important thing. We should remember that. This is good. This is progress for us. But it's also a shot at normalcy. Thank you to Tommy and TJ. Thank you to Boomer and Anna and Mark Garrison and each and every one of you. Jason Lewis will be in for me tomorrow, and then I'm back on Thursday and Friday. I'm Brett Witterbull. Charlotte at 6 is next. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
You feel better. The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly, and everything is all right.
Next question.
Elvis has left the building. I've told you absolutely straight up to this point, you know that he has left the building. He left the stage and went out the back with the policeman, and he is now gone from the building.